Would you pray with me? Father, you are great. And Father, I love singing that song because how great is our God? We just don't even have words for it. We try to describe it, Father. We try to put into words, put into illustrations, and it all falls short. Father, thank you for loving us the way that you do. I pray we would continue to worship you and bring you glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, if you have your Bible, you can open up to Philippians chapter 1. If you don't have one and you want one, we always have those white Bibles back there in that corner, and usher's always happy to grab one. You can always grab one when you come in. If you ever forget one, but also if you don't own a Bible, please take one of those. That's our gift to you. We just want you to have it. So this has been a really incredible month for me. This is my first missions month here, and however we continue to do this in the future, however we think about things, I don't want it to just be localized on February. That we, you know, that one of the themes since we've come here, I think it's funny when people talk about, someone said to me, well, we have missions month, but you talk about missions every week, and I sound like a broken record. And I like that even after a few months, I already sound like a broken record on sending people out, but just that's our calling. And so, yeah, I think it's great that we pause and we think intentionally about the people that we're supporting locally and across the state and across the nation and across the world. And so it's just fun to be able to highlight that a little bit. And the first week, if you remember, Robbie Helene from Dallas came up and he spoke about the key takeaway that I got from that was this idea that it was that very idea that the only difference between a missionary that is over there and us is just location. That we're called to the very same things. That we're not doing anything crazy or radical when we talk about missions. We're just talking about following Jesus. And so he mentioned that. And then last week, Chris Nadalny spoke and talked about how we're blessed to be a blessing and how God works in our lives so we go out and we would proclaim to people the goodness of God and the wonder of God. And sandwiched in there, 2 weeks ago, we had Faith Promise Week where we talked about, we looked at this book of Philippians and just a broad overview, but this idea of how the church in Philippi partners with Paul. And how Paul sees them as partners in the gospel and how that's how we are called to serve our missionaries that we support. And so we talked about that happening in four different ways just that we see in the book of Philippians. We see how the Philippians prayed for Paul. We see how they shared in the mission by also sharing in the gospel like we just talked about. They also shared in his sufferings and they gave financially. So 2 weeks ago we talked about that, and if you missed that or you haven't had that chance, we still have Faith Promise cards that you can still fill out and turn in. And again, just as a reminder, we don't record individual cards. We just record a number of cards and a total dollar amount. And we do that both for your own sake, that you can have that commitment and pray about that before God, but also for the sake of our missionaries so that we can honestly support them and help them plan for their year. And so you can still do that. Well, this week we're going to focus on the other one, which is prayer. How the Philippians partnered in the gospel with Paul through prayer. Look in chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. We see this, that Paul is often asking for prayers, and he's praying for the churches that he has planted and that he has led. When we were missionaries in Denver, Lauren and I, we felt very alone at times. It's just one of the natures of doing missionary work is that you're going places, the way that we normally think of it, you're going places where other things aren't established. We were at the Southern Baptist Convention, and every year on my birthday, I would get a birthday card or an email from somebody. There's always some random guy. It was like Bob Smith, you know, from somewhere in Georgia. And I'm like, I don't know who Bob Smith is. And at first I would kind of mock it and make fun of it a little bit. I was younger then, far less mature. And I would just be like, oh great, Bob's praying for me. Hey honey, Bob's praying, but we're good, you know. But over time, every birthday, I would get a card. And God started to change my heart in it. And I started to realize I would look forward to it. And I would look at it and I would say, someone's praying for us today. And what a blessing that that was, because in that moment when I read that card, I would think, we're not alone. Somebody else is thinking of us and is mindful of us. And it was such an encouragement. And here, I've been overwhelmed by the amount of people who have prayed for us. I've just been overwhelmed. Lauren and I have never experienced anything like it. People telling me that, you know, you were brought to my mind, I prayed for you, and what an encouragement that has been for us. It means more than you know. And I'm telling you that our missionaries that are scattered around on these walls, it means more than you know to actually pray for them. A lot of them don't have that kind of support, or they don't know that they have that kind of support. It's so important. It's so important, one, because it's an expression of love. Right? I mean, have you ever felt like when somebody says that they pray for you, I mean, how do you not take that as an expression of love? I mean, I guess it probably depends on the tone that they say it in. I mean, it's kind of like, bless your heart. Like it's all in the tone, right? There's a big difference between, oh, bless his heart, and, oh, bless your heart. Like, I don't even know which one was which there, but it was, those are two different tones, and you know what I'm talking about. Same thing with praying, like, you know, like, oh, I'll pray for you. That's different than I'm praying for you. I'm with you in prayer. It's this expression of love. It's a bonding experience. You know, as you're laboring together and you're taking your requests to the King together, it bonds us together and it brings glory to Jesus. Because we're sitting here saying together, like, we need to go to our King for this. We can't fix this for each other. We can't handle this completely on our own. It brings glory to Jesus in that. You get to share in this experience with them. That's one of the privileges of being able to pray for each other, is you get to share in those experiences. Now you cannot join in prayer. You cannot pray and you can hear this and it can go, you know, and you can go about your life and not pray. And you won't probably notice any difference. Like you won't really know what you're missing out on. You may feel like nothing's happening and you may wonder, like, is God even working in the world? But you won't connect the two. You won't realize what you're missing out on when you don't pray. I had a real life illustration of this recently about not realizing what I was missing out on. Anybody aware of Dollar Scoop Mondays at Culver's? All right. I just found this out. Okay, listen. For a dollar, that's 100 cents, you get this glorious bowl of frozen custard. Okay? Now, if you didn't know that, on Mondays, every Monday, $1. People, I don't think you realize how awesome this is. Now, if you didn't know that, you're welcome. Okay? If you did know that, you didn't tell me. And how dare you let us live this long without knowing that? But see, this is the thing. I mean, by the way, I'm just really, if you did know that and you didn't tell me, I can understand like wanting me to miss out, but my children. Think about my kids. It's awful. But I didn't know what we were missing out on until then you see it. And then like it's, now I know. And it's glorious. You can go through life not really engaging with our missionaries. You can go through life just being like, oh yeah, we support some of these guys. You know, that's great what they're doing or whatever. You can go through that and you probably will rarely feel like you're missing out. But it doesn't mean you're not missing out. Trust me. You want to partner with them in this way. You want to take part in what's happening. You want to go to the King on their behalf. You want to rejoice in their successes. You want to weep alongside of them when they're struggling. You want to be there with them. You want to share in that and seeing God moves. We want to do that. And we want to join in. But how? What do we pray for then? And I want to just give, this is the main part here. I just want to give three things to pray for. And I want to tell you this. This is not an exhaustive list. This is in addition to the things that they request that we pray for. Because missionaries will often pray for what's happening. And they'll pray for, I guarantee you, I don't even have to go back and look at the Colossians prayer list, but there's gonna be students on there. Pray for this person, pray for this thing, pray for this opportunity, pray for that. And we should. So do that. Pray for those things. But there are three things that I think often get ignored that I want to encourage us to be the foundation of our prayer for our missionaries. Let's look at that passage again, Philippians 1. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Look at what Paul's asking for here. That he would not be ashamed, that he would not bring embarrassment on the name of Jesus. For Paul, his reputation was only for the gospel. That's all he cared about. He wanted to be not ashamed for the sake of the gospel. He wanted to have full courage. He's praying, give me courage that Christ will be honored in my body, whether in life or death. So what Paul is praying here more than anything is he's praying for perseverance. And that's the first thing that I want us to always be praying for our missionaries in, is perseverance. Does this sound like your prayers, like what Paul's asking for here? If you're like me, then it may not. If you're like me, if you just look through your prayer life, and this is my own conviction as I was thinking about this, I would say what dominates my prayer life a lot of times are two things: safety and success. I'm always praying that God would protect my kids and that God would protect, you know, health and that he would bring fruit and do that. And we pray for those things a lot. And last week, Chris pointed out that believers in persecuted nations aren't praying for safety. They're not asking for prayers for safety. They're asking prayers that they would suffer well. Can you imagine that? That's really foreign to us. Our default in the American church is to pray for safety and success. That's the most common prayers. I mean, if you think about that, I pray, like I said, I pray God would protect my children, even from colds, let alone any real suffering. I mean, if you're in my house when I have a cold, then you might imagine that that's real suffering, but it's not. And I would pray even for that. Now, don't hear me wrong and say we shouldn't pray for those things. I'm going to get to that. But why aren't our brothers and sisters in other places praying for the same thing? Or at least, why isn't their primary prayer? Why isn't it Paul's primary prayer here? Well, it's because it's all that matters to him is the gospel. His whole life is reoriented around the gospel, around the mission. He can't imagine anything more important than his life being glorifying to Jesus, whether in life or death. It's not that he doesn't care about the other things. We know, like, he writes to Timothy and he says, hey, take a little wine for your stomach to ease your ailments. He prays that a thorn would be removed from his flesh. It's not that he doesn't care about those things. It's not that he wants to necessarily be imprisoned or that he wants to be sick. What he's saying is Jesus is enough in the midst of it. And what he's saying is, in the midst of it, you can have anything else, but as long as I have Christ, and as long as I'm centered there, as long as I'm grounded there, and as long as I'm glorifying his name, I'm content in all circumstances, whether by life or death. Paul's saying, may I suffer well. He's saying, if I live, let Christ be honored in my life. If I die, let him be honored in my dying. Right now, across the world, Christians are dying for their faith, and their number one prayer is, let me die well. And maybe you've seen it. Maybe you've heard of it. You've read of it. The accounts of these Christians who are being mass executed and they are singing praises to God. They are praying for the forgiveness of their enemies. Tell me that isn't a powerful testimony. That's what they're praying for. That's what they're begging God for, is that when I get in that moment, let me suffer well. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for safety. I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for a miracle, that God would deliver them in the midst of that. We know God broke Paul and Silas out of prison, that he chooses to deliver people in those times. But in all things, whether in life or death, we glorify Christ. When you ask me to pray for you, when you send in prayer requests to our staff, I want you to know that, like, if it's an illness or something like that, I'm praying for healing. I am. I'm praying that God would heal, that he would bring hope. But I'm also praying that you would glorify God in the midst of your trials. I'm also praying that whatever happens, that the name of Jesus would be magnified. I'm praying that you'd find joy in the midst of your trials. I'm praying that idols would be loosened from your grip. I'm praying that you would treasure Jesus more in the midst of these trials. How is this possible? I mean, if you look at Psalm 23, there's a reason why Psalm 23 is quoted so much. It's because it's awesome. I recite this psalm with my kids a bunch because it's so amazing. And one of those is this, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When you have walked through the valley of the shadow of death and you realize that he's with you, what can scare you? Ravi Zacharias, who's one of my favorite, I think he's one of our greatest present day Christian apologists, said this one time. He was talking about Lazarus. You know, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And so after Lazarus, I mean, we don't really know what's going on with Lazarus afterwards. I mean, can you imagine you've been raised from the dead and now you're walking around? Like, to me, that deserves a sequel. Like, I feel like somewhere later we should, like, follow up and catch back up. There's not a lot there. And what Ravi Zacharias says about this, he says, have you ever wondered what you would do to frighten Lazarus after he'd been raised from the dead? What would you do to threaten him? Lazarus, I'm going to kill you? Caligula says, I'm going to kill you. He says, ha, ha, ha. He says, stop ha, ha, ha-ing. I'm going to kill you as I'm killing all the Christians. He doubles over in uncontrollable laughter, comes up for air and says, Caligula, haven't you heard? Death is dead. Death is dead. How do you frighten somebody who has already been there and knows the one who's going to let him out? Pray for our missionaries that they would know the one who's going to let them out. Pray for our missionaries that no matter what they come into contact with, that Jesus is with them in the midst of it. That they would know the one who has met every trial ahead of them and is working all things together for their good. Pray that they would know that. I've said before that the greatest testimony we have is how we suffer. That's what the world can't explain. People talk about, oh, get rich and get successful and do all these things, and then that'll bring glory to Jesus, because people will look at that and say, oh, I want a life like that, so I'm gonna follow Jesus too. That's not what history says. What history says is that when people suffer and they praise the name of Jesus because they're saying Jesus is worth more than all of this, that's what the world can't explain. That's what provides evidence to his reality and his goodness. But it's not just suffering persecution or hard trials that we want to pray for perseverance for our missionaries. We want to pray for perseverance in the daily monotony of the work. We hear the exciting stories, and it's great. And I would share these. When I would go around and talk to people about what we were doing in Denver, I'd share the best stories, because that's what I want to share. But I could also have just shared, last Tuesday, got up, tried to have a conversation with somebody, it failed. I went, I had lunch, I read, I wrote a little bit, got a little depressed because that conversation didn't work out, went home, snapped at my kids, watched TV, went to bed. It's a grind. It's a daily grind. The enemy is out to discourage laborers. He's out to discourage them to say, this isn't worth it. This isn't going to happen. And we, as the body of Christ, need to be praying against that. and praying that they would persevere in the midst of it. Some missionaries will pour out their entire lives into a group of people and not see any fruit. And yet God is working in it. He's doing something incredible. What keeps them going? Just trusting that God called them. And all this is a bigger story. It's a part of a bigger story. They need our prayers to remain faithful. To not look at other campus ministries and say, well, they have more numbers. Or that person got asked to speak at this thing over here. Or this feeling of failure when you invest in somebody and then they turn away. You need prayers of perseverance. I've mentioned how it was 2 years before we met with people officially in our home. We were technically church planting missionaries, but we were doing it in a way that they hadn't done it before. So nobody knew what to do with us. They just said, well, good luck. And so we did. We were meeting with people and we're trying to, you know, just meet with people in our homes and gather them. And we just wanted to invest in these relationships, and it was slow. And while we were doing that, other people were having big preview services. And everybody was watching us and thinking, oh, this is going to be great. Do you realize that in 2 years as a church plant, traditionally you're supposed to be self-supporting. Self-supporting, that means that the church body is providing financially for the church. In 2 years, we had zero people. Not one. We had conversations with people. We didn't have anybody meeting in our home. It wasn't until 3 months after the 2 year mark that we finally gathered a group of people in our home. The only way we got through that was to believe that God was doing something and that He was working in people's lives and that if we just remained faithful, things would happen. And the only way we could do that is when we pursued Jesus. So pray that our missionaries would persevere by pursuing Jesus, because when all else crumbles around them, they'll have Jesus. That they would find their identity in Him and not in ministry success. That they would find their hope and their joy in communing with Him, not in the high points of ministry. And again, that's a prayer we can echo here with each other. For so many of us, what numbs us to our faith isn't really the suffering. It's the day-to-day drudgery, the millionth load of laundry, the 10th spill you've cleaned up that day, packing of lunches, the alarm going off at the exact same time, the same drive to work, the same conversations with the same people that seem to go nowhere. The weight of that can be crushing. So we pray for each other. We pray for each other to hang in there, to find the joy in the little gifts that God gives us, to trust Him in the midst of it, to be consistent in our lives. So that's number one. That's the big one. That's the point that's going to take the longest, so don't worry. Number one is pray for perseverance, both in the midst of trials and in the midst of the day-to-day. Pray for them. Second one is pray for laborers to enter the harvest with them. John 4 says this, "Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But He said to them, 'I have food to eat that you do not know about.' So the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought Him something to eat?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." So there's this picture of them doing this together and saying, look, one does this, the other one does that. We're laboring together, and we all get to reap the harvest here. Luke 10:2 says, "He said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest.'" This is really a fascinating thing that I don't want us to skip over. When you're a missionary, you see so much work to be done. There's so much work to be done. And you have no one to help you. There's always this feeling. I've never once spoken to a missionary who says, "You know what? I've got plenty of leaders. In fact, I got too many. I have to turn people away." It doesn't happen. Why? Because the work is never ending. Because the fields are white for harvest. Like we talked about with college ministry, you invest sometimes 3-4 years into a student, or 5 years or 8 years or 10 years, whatever. You invest in them and then they go. That's the design of it. And there's great joy and there's great sorrow in it. How are we going to replace them? How's that going to happen? If you've ever felt like you're on an island in your faith, then you understand this. Maybe you're the only believer at your workplace. Or maybe you're the only believer in your family. Or in your neighborhood. And you feel a little bit on an island. And you're just praying, God, I would love to have another Christian here with me. We would pray for that all the time in Denver. All the time. All the Christians thought we were weird because we weren't having a big meeting. They didn't understand what we were doing, so we felt very alone. And we would pray for more laborers. You might understand that. What would you give to have another believer standing with you in the break room to have a conversation with this person? What would you give to have somebody in your family start to turn the tide a little bit and to echo your testimonies to how good God is? It's what our missionaries are desperate for. It means so much when they know that we're praying for co-laborers, for other people to join them in their work. Pray that Nora would find a person of peace in the artist community in Boston. Somebody would come alongside and say, yeah, I know him. Pray that they would raise people up, people that they would never know. I guarantee you, again, you hear stories and you ask them, every missionary will have a story of someone that they thought, oh, never in a million years. And now they're leading. Pray that God would give them eyes to see the laborers he's raising up. Many of us have prayed for revival in our nation, especially right now. Prayed that we would return to God. Some of us have given up on praying for that. But this is what's amazing about this passage. He says the fields are white for the harvest. That means the problem isn't that people don't want to hear. The problem is that we don't want to tell them. Wrap your mind around that for a second. The problem isn't that people don't want to hear. The problem is we don't want to tell them. So not only pray for laborers in Boston and Thailand and Eau Claire, but pray for laborers in your workplace. Be the laborer in your workplace and pray for more. Get greedy. Don't stop. There's plenty of work to be done. So we want to pray for perseverance. We want to pray for co-laborers for them. We also want to pray, the third one is we want to pray for their families. For marriages, for children, future families or extended families. Just kids, I'll just tell you this from my own personal testimony. Kids of missionaries have a very different experience than your typical churchgoer has. Like when we came here, our kids had never experienced anything like this. And a lot of you saw that in our first couple of weeks. They're like, why is everyone so quiet while you're talking, Dad? I'm like, I don't know. They're paying attention. That's different than what we're used to. And, you know, people would just interrupt us and they're just used to kind of crawling all over and doing whatever. And they've kind of learned the rhythms or whatever. They're just blown away. There's so many people that are their age, so many kids. We didn't have Awana. We didn't have like Sunday school. We didn't have any of those things. They didn't have that experience. The financial hardships that were weighing on us weigh on kids. It's hard when we would have to tell our kids, like, no, I'm sorry, we can't do that. And other kids that they knew were doing that, and so we just couldn't. It just was the way it was. And those aren't like big, those are what we would call first world problems. It's not, in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal, but those are little moments. It's a different experience. But mostly the discouragement we just talked about with perseverance, that we need to pray for perseverance, we need to pray for co-laborers, all of that gets transferred to kids. It gets transferred to marriages. It can't be isolated. It can't be separated. Lauren and I have no idea what it's like to do ministry separately. That just doesn't happen. We are investing in the same people. We've always done that. Our kids have no idea what that means to be separate. They don't understand why they're left out of some things. And over the years in Denver, they were a part of these conversations. They saw grown men and women bawling in front of them because their marriage was falling apart. They're there because they come and they ask for a glass of milk right in the middle of like a very serious part of the conversation. That's what happens. Jessica said you didn't, you know, interrupted conversations. That's just the norm. And kids are interrupting it and they're hearing that and they're taking that in. And there's this tension that we think, well, they didn't sign up for this, but yet they're a part of this. And so it's just this tension. That's all I can say about that. So we need to pray for the families that are represented on these walls and for the marriages. I think about like campus ministry and how students pop in and out of the lives of their kids. I mean, it's one thing for you guys to say, oh yeah, we're so glad that they're going over there, but the hurt that the kids feel, it's real. It's real. Families of missionaries are under attack. And if you choose to be a missionary here and actually be sent with the gospel, you will come under attack. So pray for the kids' faith. Pray for their marriages. Pray that kids would experience Jesus themselves. Pray that marriages would be strong and that there would be deep communion outside of just ministry stuff, that not everything would be about ministry work, but that they would experience a strong relationship there. Pray that mom and dad would follow Jesus in a way that's attractive to their kids. Pray that dad would lead his family first. Pray for their children's salvation. Pray for people to come around them and care for them, to watch their kids so that they can go out, to just minister to them. Rejoice with them when they get a time to get away. One of my favorite things to do in watching missionaries is watch them make excuses for why they're on vacation. It's pretty funny. Like they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm going to this thing, but we're going to meet with supporters while we're there. You know, or it's a spiritual retreat or whatever. Tell them, go have fun. Tell them like it's this way. They feel responsible. They're raising support and they want to be good stewards or whatever, but rejoice with them. Pray that people would get that. Pray that they get opportunities for that. So we want to pray for perseverance. We want to pray for co-laborers. We want to pray for their families. And when do we want to do this? I could go through a lot of things here, but I'm not. Let's just leave it at this. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. This doesn't mean you have to, you know, carve out an hour or two every day for each one of these individually. If you want to do that, praise God, add me to your list, and I would love it. But every time they come to mind, here's what I would encourage you to do. This is something really simple we would teach our people to do all the time. When you think of them, pray for them. And when you pray for them, let them know. It's pretty simple. When you think of them, pray for them. When you pray for them, let them know. Let them know that you're going to the King on their behalf. And it's not to brag, to be like, oh, look at my prayer life. It's to let them know, hey, I love you enough that I'm talking to God on your behalf. So please go around and look at the missionaries. Please go around and let the images burn in your mind and in your heart. Pray as you're looking at them that God would bring them to mind. Pray for their perseverance. Pray for laborers to join them. Pray for their families. Pray that the name of Christ be glorified. Let them know that we are partners with them in the gospel. And as you're doing that, as we start to do that out there, we'll start to do it in here. Pray for one another in that way. This is an incredible opportunity for us here. Pray for people here. I've been so encouraged by people saying, I've prayed for you today. Do that for one another. When you think of someone, pray for them. When you pray for them, let them know. What I want to do right now is we just close in a time of prayer. I want to lead us through a congregational prayer. And all I'm going to do is, I just want to pray for these three things. And I'm going to just intro each one and then have a few moments of silence, which as you know is difficult for me, but I'll let it hang. And then I'll say the next one. So what I want you to do right now, if you would participate in me with this, is think of one of those missionaries. Somebody that you know, just pick one. One of the missions or one of the missionaries that's up around this wall. And if you don't know any of them because you've never looked there and you're new, guess what? You do know. The Clossies, right here. They shared. So think of them then. If you don't know any of the other ones here, if you know other ones here and you want to pray for them, let's just pray for them. You can pray silently, but I'm just going to lead us through each one of these. specifically. So let's pray. Father, I want to just ask for forgiveness for when we have treated praying for people like a throwaway line or like some kind of a secondary thing. Something that's not quite as important as financially supporting, but it's something that we say just in case. God, forgive us for that. What could possibly be more important than calling out to you on behalf of our brothers and sisters? God, we know that in our heads and we believe it and we want to believe it, but even like Archer said earlier with the offering, we want to believe more. God, we believe, help our unbelief. So God, right now I pray that you would bring to mind one of our missionaries. Or maybe one that's not even on this board, someone that we know or support. And God, as we think of them right now, God, I pray for perseverance. I pray that they would stand firm in the faith, that they would pursue Jesus, that their identity would be in you. God, let us right now go before you and pray for their perseverance. Father, we pray for co-laborers in the gospel. Pray for men and women to come alongside our missionaries, that they would be trustworthy, that they would be full of the Spirit, that they would have a love for you, a love for the kingdom, and that they would be leaders that they may not, they don't have to be flashy leaders, God. They're just people that want to invest and reproduce themselves in someone else, so that they would, our missionaries wouldn't feel alone, and that they would have the joy of laboring together. God, right now we pray for these missionaries. We pray for laborers and workers to join them. Father, we pray for their families. God, would you hold them and care for them? And we pray for, if there are children, God, that the children would know you. Pray that dads would lead their families well, that mom and dad would have strong marriage that would be a model for their kids, and a faith that would be a model for their kids. I pray for times of bonding. I pray just for that, the strength of that family unit, whether there's kids or whether they're just married or whether they're single, God, that there would be just unity in their families. And Lord, above all else, we pray that you would be glorified. The name of Jesus would be lifted high. And that all those around us would be pointed to you. Because we know, God, that you are the source of life. You are the source of hope, of peace, of joy. You are our everything. And I pray our lives would be lived out in a manner worthy of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.